Okay, I guess we'll get started. Good evening, everyone. We'll call the Bartlett Public Library District Board of Trustees meeting to order. It's 7 p.m. Roll call. Whoever's doing it.
Seis?
Here.
Boyer?
Here.
Berry?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Vaccaro absent. Damey here. Hopkins?
Here.
Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Town Hall?
Hi.
Hello, greetings.
I just wanted to call your attention on page 12 of the grant for the minute. Lynn Desmit, D-E-S-M-I-D-T, resident in Bartlett. Do you need my address? I'm sorry, do you need my address? Okay. So on the draft for the minutes, page 12, Town Hall, where there was conversation at the meeting after waitlist, comma, and I just need the word suggested. So I just suggested that the library contact patrons, you know, by email or phone when the books are late. That was what I needed to add to that. And then I just had something I wanted to share. I went to the ILA conference in October. It was a great hit. I loved everything about it. There's a company that was there that did this engraving where you purchase the machine, I think it's around $10,000, and you can bring in, you know, a piece of wood, piece of metal, a plastic or whatever. They have, you know, protocol for it. And they it's a laser. So this is the name of the company, and I can share this with Carolyn if you're interested. I just wanted the staff to know that there were some really creative things. And so what they do is when the machine is purchased for the library, the students come in and they can create a project or a gift or something to that sort. So I wanted you to share that so you're aware that there's a company out there that does market to the libraries. Second of all, I found this really interesting. One of the libraries shared a marketing tool to get, you know, census up in the library. It was called Library Road Trip. It was a passport. And they basically had different stamps for their local libraries. So they picked a date or a month, like this was April 1st through the 30th, and then they went around to each library and got a stamp, and then they could enter for a drawing or whatever at that library. So I thought it was a cute idea. They had a map in the back, and I can share that with you, you know, if you want to see.
Was that McHenry?
I'm trying to recall who the originator was. I don't know, but I'm more than willing to let you look at it. And then the third thing was, is there's a gentleman, and we've used him here at the library, but we haven't used him recently. He was sharing that he'd love to come back, discover science, and he brings in great science, creative projects for the students to advance their skills, and he goes through K-8. And he has all different kinds of skills in the library. And he said he's come to Bartlett, but it's been a while, so I wanted to share that. On the other topic at the ILA that kind of hit a little bit of a home run was how libraries are updating their look for their patrons when they walk into the door. The look of like the blockbuster look of videos and DVDs in the front when you walk in kind of is like an old school. This is what I'm quoting. So he explained he revamped the library. I drove to it to see it. It was really nice, fun, exciting. And I just thought, you know, our library, that's a thought. We could change it up. And what they're trying to do now, the focus is kind of a display. So when you walk in the library, maybe you have your new materials on rounders, you know, and then you have like a display for whatever that special quarter or month is, if it's Martin Luther King's, you know, or if it's any kind of a holiday or representation. So when people come in, they see the display, it draws them into the library. It doesn't have to be in the back, but in the front. And you can have like some furniture set up. So it was just a thought I wanted to share. And then I know the budget's coming up, so that's why I brought up this laser to just kind of take a look and do it. It's by Epilogue, E-P-I-L-O-G, laser. phone 219-462-6802. And it was really fascinating because you don't have to get a huge machine. It was a smaller machine, and they tell you what you can use, you know, or can provide and or sell or whatever. So just a thought. Thank you.
Any other town hall? The consent agenda, are there any items that anyone wishes to remove?
Yes.
Trustee Bainey?
1A.
Okay, so the minutes from January 16th?
16th, yes.
Trustee Olson?
I'm not sure whether I wanted 1C, but maybe the clarification's always not certain. I noticed that we got Trustee Bainey 2 months in a row doing bill review.
Peggy Bucaro should be back from
her trip.
Being out of her trip, so I was just going to have them flip-flop, so Peggy Bucaro, it was an error on my part, I should have had Peggy Bucaro. Okay. They just flip-flopped their turns.
All right, so I guess withdraw item C as well.
Okay, so items 1A and 1C?
No, it's
withdraw. Oh, withdraw. Okay, sorry. Thought that meant removed. Any other? Okay, I'll take a motion to approve the consent agenda minus item 1A.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Trustee Sias. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Beery. Any discussion? Roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Beery?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Bucaro absent. Davey?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes. Okay, item 1A.
Okay, yeah. Page 8 of the draft minutes. They have on here that Trustee Bucaro stated she had the experience and it wasn't. I don't know if these people that are typing up our minutes need for Peggy Bucaro and myself to distinguish if it's Trustee Dainey or Trustee Bucaro. We'll try to work on that, but that should be. That's all.
Anyone else have anything for 1A? Trustee Olson?
I had that point too, but on page 8, second paragraph, second line, I want to change the firm is to Mr. Tracy is.
I'm sorry?
That Mr. Tracy was the person I was referring to when I was talking about the references of his.
Oh, about how hands on Mr. Tracy was.
Yes. And then, and I will give you a copy of this here. In page 10, paragraph 7, it refers to line 2 says group, and I believe that should be teen advisory group. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the reference was to TAG or the teen advisory group. And that was it.
Okay. Any others? I will entertain a motion to approve item 1A with the amendments noted.
I'll so move.
Thank you, Trustee Dainey. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Olson. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Beery?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Bucaro? Absent. Dainey? Yes. Hopkins?
Yes. Correspondence?
We received two very nice thank you letters from the police department when we assisted them when there was an issue with a missing girl on, I believe it was a Friday in February or late January. And this is from Kyle, and I think he's Sergeant. Commander? Okay. He just put Kyle. He said, good morning. Thank you, Carolyn, for all of your help and support last Friday. We appreciated you and your team opening up the library for us and allowing us to pretty much take over the cameras and the private conference room during the incident. You guys were all great and very helpful. And then this is from the Chief of Police. Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to utilize the library's conference room while we were trying to locate a missing 14-year-old juvenile last Friday. In case you were not aware, we safely located the juvenile at the Target store in Springwood. We would not have been able to locate her so quickly without your staff's assistance. So basically, the cameras were just installed. The new cameras were just installed a couple days prior to that event, and then we had additional cameras throughout the building, and we also had the external cameras, which they utilized to see which direction the girl was in. They took over Gina's office because it was only installed on her computer, and Manny was not here that day, but we were able to assist them, and they were very professional, and I'm very proud of our police department. I think that they do great things, so.
I'm glad they found her.
Me too.
Okay, reports, questions, and answers. Does anybody have anything? Trustee Olson.
I have a couple quick questions. In reviewing the financial statements, I noticed that we have not yet received any developer funds. But I've also noticed in the Examiner this past week that the village had approved using as a loan $1.9 million in developer funds for putting in a sprinkler system at the golf course. Two aren't really related, but the one triggered the other. And I think by now, last year, we had received developer funds, and wondering if we can anticipate any this year, or whether we have any idea.
I don't have any idea. I can reach out to the village.
Okay. Then I also noticed that in looking at the tax assessments for Cook County taxes, now that we finally have the second installment billed and pretty much collected, that we were down $18,000 from last year and about $53,000 below budget. Do we have a final number from Cook County yet in terms of what the taxes were that were billed for the district?
I can reach out to the county if I know.
Okay. I have a couple of quick questions on, or I guess some unclarity in regards to the internal lighting project. The director put in her report that we were waiting to get the contractor in place so that we had a time frame for completion. And then the facility manager said that he had met recently with Shales, representative from Phillips, and an engineer to get info for bid specifications. Do we have any idea when Shales is going to bring to the board the bid specifications for our approval?
Yes. Larry and I met with John and another engineer today at 2 p.m. They have a quote for us with the most economical and feasible direction that they're recommending. Larry and I talked and asked them if they could provide us an alternative quote with replacing some of, what are they called? Upstairs, the
lights upstairs, because a lot of the louvers are messed up. So they're gonna give us a sample so we can see what it looks like inside.
And they anticipate getting that to us a week before the board meeting. So that he and Larry and I can review it, then it would be on the board for approval at the March meeting. It goes out to bid the day after the board meeting. It's about 2.5 weeks for turnover. So then the bids will come to you guys in April for final selection and approval. And then we would start the project late April, have May and June to do it. So they are hoping that it would be completed by the end of the school year before summer starts, because that's when all of their big projects start. So we just met with him today. And the email, the update that I gave you was the email that he had sent me last week.
Do we have any sense in terms of what they think the project should come in at? Or?
We did not talk about cost. We just got the lay of the land, and Larry and I walked around and looked at each of the lights and the chart and whether or not they were going to modify it, retrofit it, completely swap it out. So we will have an estimate when we, before we take the project out to bid.
Then I also want to comment that I was very favorably impressed by our attendance figures for adults in programs during the month of January. We had some really successful programs. The one exception that I saw, and I've seen this 2 or 3 months, not successive months because we haven't had a program every month, but the Illinois Library Presents program had an attendance of 4. I think the last time we offered it, it was only 2 or 3. And we must be about at the end of our 1 year agreement. Is that something that we're considering, whether it makes sense to continue?
Mallory has been talking with her staff about it. The numbers are low, and we are aware of that.
Okay. And the last thing that I wanted to mention is, looking at the financial statement, if you look at the balance sheet, first page in the financials, it shows a number that's less than $2.75 million, and that is because what we have invested $2.75 million, but we did not, and I've got to talk with Carolyn about this and talk with James, our accountant, about the best way to present the numbers. It shows the fees that we paid for acquisition of different securities as a deduction from our fund balance rather than part of the entire investment in those. And I think that probably will be revised for the February statements. Because we have had limited earnings from the money market account that the uninvested funds go into. And of course, we've had the fee from Belco for their services. But when I looked at the investments that have been purchased, most of the investments are between 4% and 5% as far as the return. Ultimately, the income is either paid on a periodic basis, the interest, or at maturity. And so the recognition, because we're not on an accrual basis, will come at that time. So don't think that there's anything wrong. It's just the presentation of the financial statements. That was all I wanted to bring up.
Aiden, you're up.
Okay, thank you. So Teen Library Anesthesia asked teens for more input on future teen programming at this month's Teen Advisory Group. After input was received, can shared some ideas that she was considering for future programming, which included a food tasting challenge and potentially a volunteer group. It would be similar to TAG, but it would require more commitment from teams than TAG. They'd have to come to the library to help with projects every 2 weeks. And again, this is just tentative programming, possibly for the summer. Next up, Create a Chat and Game Night are continuing to be held as monthly programs in the library's team space, lasting each as 1 hour programs. And this is still doing relatively low. However, Anastasia has been promoting them to teams. She currently has posters up for them in the team space. An additional opportunity to earn volunteering hours available for those already registered in the library's team volunteering program is taking place on April 1st. Teams will be able to help out with Boy Scout Matt Luxack's story walk program at Lidesburg Park in Bartlett, which pages of books will be posted along the walking trails to promote exercise as well as literacy in the community. And finally, Joe, I know you you mentioned this when brought up that TAG teams provided feedback that programs usually utilize in the library donated virtual reality equipment when bringing teams. Though Anastasia wondered if space would be an issue if your program of this type were held in the team space. She said she would keep it in mind for future planning. And also, I was just informed today that Anastasia had planned some more team programming for the spring. However, I was asked to write this before Mallory left, so I wasn't informed of those until after I wrote this report, but I'll definitely report on those next month. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Next is the restructuring of the loan periods, renewals, and fines policy.
Yes, so the management team met quite often and had some really deep discussions about how we felt going fine-free would look like and how it might impact how often we get our books back. And we compared and looked at a lot of things that other libraries are doing. And one of the things that we saw is that there's really no conclusive data. The libraries are not taking or tracking the data of when or how many items that they're losing to this. And, you know, when you ask libraries how it's going, they're all saying, oh, it's great, you know, but I haven't been able to find any solid data. So I'm a little worried that jumping into this, there's still some unknowns. And I think that as a management team, we are the professionals and, you know, the management team communicated with the staff who are working the front desks. And I just don't think that we as a group felt that we were ready to move forward to going fine free. So I think that we came up with a really good compromise. And that was to relook at our current loan and fine and policy. So basically, Dina really did a nice write-up in the board report. We are still going to ask for fines, but we've lowered them quite a bit. You know, so there isn't a lack of a repercussion. You know, there's still that ownership to returning the item back because you're going to get fines. I think that the way that we do things now, Mary and her staff are so good about working with the patrons and being lenient and waiving fines that I think we'll lose that ability because we're going to have to be, it's going to be a fast, hard, firm for us, a fast, hard, firm no, because they're going to have to pay for the item, you know, and that sometimes is harder for patrons to come up with than to pay a fine down. So we thought a cap in place would be a good way, and we lowered the cap, and so we put it at $15, and a patron, all they would have to do realistically is pay 25 cents to get it down. So, you know, we also changed the way that the items will be billed. And we're working on notifications to remind patrons about the orders, the others that are waiting for the loan items in their possession. If we are unable to reduce overdue fines to $14.75 in one action through the library system, associates will work through the list of accounts to manually adjust the overdue fine amounts to $14.75 after the February board meeting until April. So, the date would be effective in April, and it would be determined by how long it would take to update all accounts as described above. So our recommendation to the board is that instead of going fine free at this time, that we make a compromise that comes from the experts that are leading your library, who really put the time and effort to research the data and to work through a lot of the kinks. And I believe in what their opinions are, and I feel strongly that this is what would be best for the library, as well as the management team. So that is all that I have to say.
Trustee Edsel?
I'd like to move to approve the loan periods, renewals, and fines policy.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Janey. Okay. Discussion.
Discussion.
Yes, sir.
I would further like to make one modification in the policy. In the fourth paragraph, I believe that the first line should end with charges, as it does, followed by a period, and then eliminate or any other charges such as printing, faxing, etc., because I think that really doesn't have a place in a fines policy, and I wasn't aware that we are actually allowing people to accumulate fees for those services. But I thought that was a cash basis policy.
So. Mary, can you kind of go in and explain how that works?
Yeah, so typically it is a cash, you know, they want it back, they pay. Occasionally, somebody comes in, they need to do a print, they don't have cash on them, they have a library card, we allow them to put their copy charges on their card to pay the next time they come in. So when they come in next time, we remind them that they have, you know, a dollar worth of printing charges on their card, and they pay it.
If they're lenient, why do we do that?
Well, we always charge for printing. We never waive printing, faxing, or charging.
I'm sorry? At all?
No.
Because it pays for the machines, right?
Correct, yeah.
I still don't think it belongs in the fines policy. You know, if there are charges that we allow people to make that are for other things, we should somehow distinguish that from the policy. Because the policy really is dealing with a limit on material borrowing and not an indebtedness to the library for any other thing.
So these changes would take effect April?
Correct.
And then can we perhaps revisit it in 6 months to maybe then decide, you know, how is that program working? If not, does it need to be tweaked a little bit more? Or at that point in time, do we go ahead and go fine?
Can we do a full year just so we have the statistics under our belt?
No. That's fine.
Okay.
A full year from April.
A full year from April.
Yeah. Prior to us getting ready for the budget.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have a question about, we said 25 cents. Is that hard and fast? Like, why 25 cents to get it under $14? What if I have 3 cents? Do you let me check out?
Absolutely.
It's under 15.
On if it's under 15. Otherwise, you're banning the patron at $15. You can't check out at all.
Like we do now for $10?
No, for
$15. Do you have something to add, Tina?
Yeah. I think we talked about 25 cents, so we didn't get into like 10. But that's a procedure thing.
Right.
That's
yeah.
But if they take their last quarter, then they can't shop at Aldi.
Sorry.
It'll never come back.
It'll never come
home.
Back.
You can't get her.
Not you.
The carrier's done.
I'm shimmying it.
Scabby, really?
Wow, you rebel.
I'm from a certain neighborhood.
You did not hear that.
Are there any other strong opinions about leaving that statement in or taking it out that Joe, Trustee Olson's referring to?
No.
That means, do you want it taken out, or are you okay with that, or do you want
it taken out? I'm okay with it.
Taken out.
I think I'm okay with it. Either way, I think it's pretty clear that it's making it known in there that it's not including any other types, so it's just for the fees for the books. So I think my personal opinion is that I think it's okay the way it is, because it is actually taking out the question of would these be included by saying it's not included.
What's the other question? Why did we choose the fee of $15? Why not 20? Why not 30?
Our current threshold is 15, so that's what we want. And this is the first time we've ever had a cap. Technically, patrons could accrue, over $100 in overdue money. So by this, we're keeping the threshold the same as what it is right now, but they can't. It keeps the fines manageable instead of being cheaper.
And there's some people that have pretty much.
I could see law stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So the motion and second on the table is to approve the fines policy. Mm-hmm.
Who seconded the motion?
Yes, thank you. So, any further discussion?
So I just think it's useful that I know a lot of people put a lot of work into it, and I'm comfortable taking the guidance of staff that this is what we feel, they feel, is right for our library at this time. I think a year's reasonable to see if it's whatever an utter failure would look like. If it's somehow an utter failure, we can fix it down the road. I really don't think that'll happen, but just gradual. I think it's good.
I think it's the first step. Okay.
So are we keeping the statement or no?
Well, the motion on the table is to approve it.
Okay.
So if there's an amendment to be had, a new motion for that amendment needs to be done.
Is that the motion you made to approve it as is?
Okay. Well, he made the motion to approve it. It was seconded. Then in discussion, we brought up the amendment. So we'll have to circle back for that one. Okay.
Yes. Sias?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Barry?
No.
Olson?
Yes.
Carl Lampson, Damey, yes. Hopkins?
Yes.
Okay. Trustee Olson, were you wanting to make another motion for this amendment that you wanted, or did you just want to leave it as is?
Understanding that we do, in fact, have a practice of doing that, then I don't have a problem with the language as it is. I just wasn't aware that we did that.
I'm sure. I would just like to add, discussion's over. However, I voted no because I think fine free is the way we're going. The library world is going. And I want us to be part of that. I don't want us to be behind. I appreciate the work put in. But philosophically, I believe that the best way to go forward is fine free. Thank you.
Wait, do I still get to make my statement after this? Because, yeah, if I don't, then I'd like to go after Trustee Barry.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, at this point, like, some of it is moot point, but I do want to thank the staff for coming together and trying to find a way to be less punitive with late fines to our patrons. I'd like to address a point that I've repeatedly heard again going fine-free, and that's the scenario that patrons will hoard slash keep library materials much longer than patrons currently do, thus making materials less available to others. So according to the School of Information Studies of Syracuse University, libraries that have eliminated fines have not experienced a complete loss of patron responsibility. According to the High Plains Library District in Northern Colorado, which eliminated fines in 2015, the fear that fines were the only thing between civilization and chaos has proved unfounded. 95% of materials are returned within a week of their due date. The data provided above is limited and is not intended to represent incontrollable evidence that the library fines do not teach civic responsibility. However, it is intended to question the idea, as it is one of the most frequently cited arguments in favor of the use of fines and been largely supported by data. Perhaps it feels like library fines should work or do work to curb patron behavior towards goodness. But if all that stands between the library and complete moral bankruptcy are fines, then fines aren't really teaching people how to be good anyhow. Another argument that I keep hearing about late fine freeze is that the library has a responsibility to implement practices that make a collection available to all patrons in a reasonable time frame, and the fear that the whole list will grow. So lucky for us, Baker & Taylor, which is our vendor, we get more than 75% of our materials through Baker & Taylor, has an actual leasing program. I didn't get to sneak that into the board report, but there's that. And so I really feel that even if we aren't going fine free, which we aren't tonight, but I strongly believe that we can afford to diminish buying additional copies and reduce processing fees. Lastly, I work at a public service desk at least more than 6 hours a week, where sometimes I get the privilege to answer, you know, the reference question, how much are late fines? And I can't tell you how easy it is to say, we don't have late fines. Instead of going through a myriad of, hey, here's a dollar for DVD, here's 25 cents for, you know, it's just so much easier to say, we're fine free. You are part of a fine free library. You can literally see a caregiver's face light up with this news when this news is shared with them. I hope that's the type of customer service that we can offer BPLT one day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was item two. Committee of the whole audit meeting. Trustee Olson, I believe this was one of yours.
And the committee of the whole minutes for the audit meeting that was held on October 17th, which I believe there are copies in our board packet. There are three changes that need to be made. On page one, under the agenda line two, we should delete Director Nance and replace with Anthony Cervini. Also on page one, third paragraph, second line, insert at the end of the line after the word he, general fund. And on page two, third paragraph, second line, change 11 to 101. Three chapters.
You'll email those to me.
Yeah, I have that.
Thank you.
Those are the three corrections that I think need to be made to those minutes. And that's what I'm moving to do.
Is there a second?
No second.
Is there any discussion? Roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Carl absent. Dainey, yes. Hopkins?
Yes. Okay. The special board meeting for the director evaluation.
I apologize, it doesn't have to be an action item, but typically we hold the director's evaluation on a separate evening, and so I'm proposing Monday, March 6th at 7 p.m., if everyone's in agreement with that.
I'll bring a motion that we have a director's evaluation at a special board meeting on Monday, March 6th, 2023 at 7 p.m.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Sias. Discussion?
Sias?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Olson?
No.
Vaccaro absent. Dainey, yes. Hopkins?
Yes. Just a quick note on the director's evaluation. I'm currently awaiting the evaluation documents from a couple of you guys. So if you guys could have that to me by the end of this week, that would be very much appreciated so I could finish putting together what I need to put together to send it back out to you guys. Okay. Discussion items.
So over the last few weeks, I've met with all of the managers and talked briefly about budget numbers. Larry and I still have not yet met because we're waiting to find out how much the internal lighting project is. My next step is to start working on the format of the budget, and I will reach out to Cook County to question them about the taxes being so low. And then the next big things are health insurance and liability insurance.
Just a grammatical point for the minutes. It should read 23-24.
Oh, thank you. Budget. Good catch.
Okay. Email communication to personal emails.
Trustee Olson asked me to reach out to the attorney regarding email communication to personal emails. I was informed from the attorney that it's not in violation of the Open Meetings Act, and that the trustee should be made aware that their device is then FOIable if it's used for library resources or library reference.
That was really the point I wanted to be made, was if you're using personal email for library related business, that you are subjecting your personal email to FOIA. Yeah.
Open Meeting Act, closed meeting minutes.
Trustee Olson asked me to reach out to the attorney about this one. We had an in-depth conversation and we figured out what areas we can improve on in terms of the executive session minutes. Trustee Olson also believes and was correct that we need to approve the minutes at the meeting when we do the six-month review of the minutes. So I'm going to be more detailed in the summary of the executive session because we really need to be as detailed as we can without revealing any private matters.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to do the FOIA and the Open Meetings Act training, but
This was something I identified a year ago and talked to Carolyn about a year ago. And it was even clearer in this year's training than it was in last year's. I believe that we have a number of problems with the way that we're handling our executive sessions minutes. In discussion with Director Nance, I, a year ago, heard the argument that, well, we tape everything, and so the minutes don't really need to reflect that. But the law says that we only have to retain tapes for a period of 18 months after the meetings. And
I think we have every single executive session that I've had since I've been here. I didn't feel comfortable getting rid of them, so I apologize my confusion. I was confused on how long we had to keep them.
So. Right. And so I think that the meeting minutes, as the training spells out, do need to reflect enough that the review of the board or a court of law will have a clear idea of the discussion that took place, any conclusions that were drawn, and any actions that were taken in those executive sessions.
And I don't feel that.
Excuse me, there's a mistake. We cannot take action in executive session. We have to come out of executive session to take action.
Why?
Right, so basically, we can talk about an item. If, let's say, we're going to buy property, negotiations, etc., is done in executives. That has to be quiet. That has to be private. We come out of executive session and decide we're going to go with B. We have to vote on it in open session. So it's part of the meeting act, kind of like it's right out there. So we have to be very careful because we have exemptions that we can use for the benefit of the library.
No, understood.
Okay, thank you.
But the executive session minutes, my understanding in reading that training and the language that's enclosed in that training would suggest that we need to be specific in referencing actions taken or recommended, who the parties were that were the subject of that discussion, that there, in fact, in the executive session, is no confidentiality in terms of recording the parties that the discussion has to do with. So, for instance, if we were negotiating with a potential seller of property to us for the purchase of property, we would have to disclose who that party was and the discussions that took place. If it was an employee that we were talking about because of some personnel matter, we would have to specifically state who that individual was. And currently, I have never seen any minutes. I don't believe that anybody in this room, at least in the three, almost 4 years that I've been on the board, we have never been shown minutes of any meetings. We have had discussions about whether we should retain as
the secretary signs off on the
minutes, executive session minutes, those minutes, but or whether they should be released. But we've never seen that information, and we have never approved or reviewed in a fashion that would allow us to go to open meeting and say that we review the minutes. And I believe that's in violation of what we need to be doing to comply with OMA.
So I showed Joe the last 5 months of our evaluate or our executive minutes, and I believe there was a termination. So I felt uncomfortable putting the name of the terminated employee on a paper document. We also had promotions. So I don't think that the name should be in there either. I think we could say an internal candidate was promoted to the such and such position.
Yeah, I also, when you think about what, we have to also look, there are other laws and regulations that affect the library, and we have to balance those against the minutes. And when we come to the decision, we have to make, if, kind of like there's, if it's a medical, the HIPAA, kind of like, there's a lot of stuff we have to be prepared for, because if we put something in the minutes and it gets out, then they're going to come back at us, the library. So this is all theoretical at this time. We don't have anything in front of us.
But that's,
I like what you put in your report about what you have to add.
That's the whole point of somebody challenging the executive session, whether it should be closed or not. The courts would not be in a position to judge what occurred and make a determination if the facts aren't present.
Actually, no, Trustee Olson, at the beginning of each closed session, there's a statement that's read into the minutes why we're going into closed session. And we vote on it. That information tells the judge or why we went into closed session. We're going into closed session.
Yes, it does. The reason for going into the session is stated publicly. Yes. But not the content of what actually happens in that discussion. And that's what, under FOIA, a court could ultimately be asked to determine. And if the facts aren't in those records, then, you know, we're clearly in violation.
So basically, we need to come out of executive session and just be a little bit more detailed in our meeting minutes without naming names or going against some other law that could affect the library.
Well,
that's what we're
saying. We have to name names. I mean, if we're going to buy property or we're going to have a contract or whatever, we have to do that. And action has to be an open session.
Right.
Without naming names and protecting people's privacy.
Well, if we're going to say a particular snowplow company, we have to actually name that who we're giving the contract to and the price.
But most of the, like when we go into executive session and we inform you about an HR issue, you don't come out and vote on that. Right. I inform you, so there's nothing to vote on when you go into general session. So the other thing is because HR executive minutes are never revealed or open to the public because of the privacy of the nature, we keep those tapes. Therefore, those tapes are on hand for the inevitable future because you're never going to release those privacy, human resource issues to the public. So either way, we're covered with the executive session tape, and that's why I am not putting the names in it, knowing that we're never going to release those to the public. So we're covered.
So if we get a board policy of keeping all tapes,
we could add that to the bylaws.
For a period of 5 years, 10 years, kind of like...
Right now, records retention requires you to hold it 7 years.
7 years.
But we hold it inevitably. I've never, ever in my, once in my 10 years here, have I gotten rid of an executive session tape. And I would feel very uncomfortable because our file room is open and the minutes are just shelved on a shelf in the room. I would feel very uncomfortable if those minutes got out and it was under my watch and it was about a privacy matter.
Okay. Perhaps in March and come back with a policy about how long we're going to keep them?
I think you would keep them inevitably.
Well, they have a written policy for that.
Can I add it just to the board bylaws so we don't have a separate policy?
Whatever, bring it to whatever for a vote.
I can ask Roger for advice?
Yes.
And I'll go back and look at how long the tapes go back to.
That might be a question for our state record retention representative instead of Roger. Because every document goes, they have a
edit. If you can reach out from here, Anne, do you do that, or can one of you guys reach out to the retentions guy? And then I'll reach out to Roger about adding a statement about keeping the tapes inevitably.
I don't know about that much. That we might have to check with them on what.
Well, like there might be a rule that you can't. If you don't open them, you have to keep them.
They advise you not to keep things longer than you're supposed to. So that's it.
Okay.
Let's just find out what they recommend. It might be 10 years, you know, for all we know. It might be forever. But if it's forever, then you have to find a way of a format to store them forever. So I would maybe just get more information.
Okay. President and trustee reports.
So how would everyone feel if I passed out the minutes of the executive session the night we sign them? Because the secretary signs them, so I can just have everybody look at it and make sure they're okay with the wording. Because I usually do them that night, right then and there.
Yeah.
You can all sign it, and everybody can take ownership or initial it.
President and trustee reports.
So one of the trustees had recommended that this to me a couple months ago, I have a blurb in here. In order to reduce the time frame of our meeting minutes, I'm requesting that any reports longer than a few sentences be typed and emailed to me so that I can include them in the board packet. If there's any discussion regarding the topics that are submitted, it can be brought up during the president and trustee reports at the beginning of the agenda. I think this will give all of the trustees time to read through the more lengthy reports, and then they're documented.
I think it also helps you on questions that are raised.
I can get them ahead of time and get answers ready. I put it in there as guidance. I just wanted to kind of get a feel of what everyone thought about it, if you guys thought it was necessary.
So when would you like them to be submitted to you by?
So the meetings are on the third Monday of the month, so I would like it by the second Monday of the month, a week before the board meeting. So is that a consensus that you'd like me to move forward with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
No.
questions on anything from the director's report that is listed as informational only? Yes, sir.
The decimal committee on local government efficiency. We are fast approaching the May board meeting, by which we have to appoint at least two members to this committee.
Can I give you an
update? Because our June board meeting will be after the legal date by which we have to notify the county, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know who we're supposed to notify. That's the problem. I reached out to the Park District, and they told me that their association director stated that they don't need to worry about it right now, to wait until after the election in April, and that there should be more information out there. Rails is still waiting, we're waiting for a template from Rails. So basically, I still have no direction on what exactly it is that we're supposed to do. I feel that if it's a mandate, then we should do it. And so my game plan was to have it on the agenda in March. I would like anyone to forward me names so I can contact them. And then I thought we could interview them at the March board meeting like we would do for a vacancy trustee position. There's just no direction on what we're supposed to do. I'm going blindly into it without any idea of what they want.
I reached out to DuPage County, and I didn't hear anything back. And also, I've been following this since its inception. Originally, this act was to put information regarding townships. Townships across the state of Illinois. We have more townships than I think any other state. And this act wasn't going anywhere. So they withdrew townships from it. The whole purpose of this act, they threw in libraries and everything else to make it look good. But then there was some last minute dealing. They took out townships out of it. And they let the thing go through. So everybody else is going like Park District. Like, who do we send to?
Well, the townships are even saying that. They have no idea either.
Yeah, the townships aren't part of this act anymore. It's kind of like they took them out in order to get the act back. I think it's one of those feel-good kind of acts that people do in Springfield every so often. I'm not too worried about it, but yeah, it's kind of, I know the current chair of DuPage County, she was one of the state senators, and she was one of the original sponsors of this act. So we've got to do something, but I'm not that worried about it. Is there any sort of penalty in it?
No. Rita told me that their association said there was no penalty. I've reached out to our library attorney. Still waiting for information from him. I mean, I've reached out to everybody that I know. So my next step was that in March, then we put on the agenda that we're going to appoint two people. We're looking for people to appoint to this committee. And I will put out in marketing, you know, and publicize it, put it in the Examiner, and hope people show up for it.
I do know someone from Ansel Blink that is going around and educating people?
They're working with Monica, who's the director of Rails, in order to get a template so that we can follow the template.
Yes, I was just going to say, I have this lady's name who is going out to different meetings and doing presentations on this, so I will give that to you.
Great. Maybe we get her on the board for March. But if you have anybody that you think would be a good fit, send me their names. How do you want to get people on the committee? Do you want to appoint them?
Well, I think we have to appoint them, but I remember we do trustees, that we had a Saturday morning meeting where people came in, not at a regular board meeting, where we interviewed people.
So the only problem that I see with that is that we're already having a special board meeting in March for the director evaluation, and we only really have until April. So are we going to fill ourselves up with different meetings to get this done, or, I mean, I'm fine with whatever. I'm just not going to be around, like, all of March. My kids have spring break and all of that. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, yeah. So I don't know what you guys want to do.
Maybe mid-April or something, yeah. Before our April board meeting. I mean, that Saturday or week, the second Saturday. Wait a minute, is that...
I could start marketing for it now. I can put it in the Examiner. I can put it on Facebook. We can get some signs put up.
But here's the thing. It's like, what are you going to market?
Well, that's the problem. I don't know.
So sounds like a toothless rule. No normal person cares about. Let's wait for more guidance.
I know Round Lake isn't doing anything that I've heard of. Is your library doing anything?
I think it's just throwing good money at nothing. What if somebody responded, what would we say?
We need you guys.
We need you for what? I don't know. Show up. Why?
No, nothing.
Because the government said so. Where's that? I don't know. Show up.
Find out.
Yeah.
I personally think that, you know, doing a campaign to try to get members of our district interested, whether they actually submit information or a desire to serve.
So
it's another positive marketing tool to say that we're asking for their involvement.
Right, but what are you going to market, though? What are you going to campaign? We have no idea what even supposed to be done. What are you going to tell them?
Well,
that they need to do. You know what I mean?
I think the summary that we saw back in, what was it, August when it first came up, Carolyn?
This is the document that I re-put in the packet.
Yeah. Gives us a sense of what the purposes. It should be enough to market.
I feel like if we can't even answer these questions tonight, like,
right. Well, also, if we're coming in to interview these guys, where are we going to ask them?
Exactly.
All right.
If there's a motion, let's go. If not,
no, it's just informational only.
Yeah.
So. I mean, these are all like good questions to remember.
Circular conversation. It's like Seinfeld in the library. It's a conversation about nothing.
Those are the best kind, though, aren't they?
Except for it's not funny.
It's not that I don't want to do my job. If I had more direction, I'd be all over it. I feel like an idiot because I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I haven't been given any information.
So maybe, I mean, I agree that it's good campaigning just to see who's interested. Maybe throw that out on the website and say, if you're interested in getting involved, let us know. And then we can at least see, you know, if we can't come up with a couple of people, then maybe someone will reach out on the website and say, okay, I'm interested. And we'll be like, okay, there you go. In what? I don't know, but they could be interested.
We can't get people to join Friends of the Foundation. I don't know how we can possibly think about getting somebody to do something that we have no idea what it is.
That might be something interesting.
Being a friend of the foundation?
Going into something blindly that you don't know.
So basically, you're supposed to study the government units governing statutes, ordinance, rules, procedures, powers, jurisdiction, shared services, intergovernmental agreements, and interrelationships with other governmental units in the state. You're supposed to collect data, research, and analysis as necessary to prepare a report that summarizes the committee's work, findings, and recommendations with respect to increased accountability and efficiency.
It's like 5 years' worth of work.
It's a lot of work.
So You have a lot of applicants for that. Too bad.
So, moving on.
Okay. All right, new business.
I have.
Oh, I did sign up. I'm going to a director's retreat. Cannot remember for the life of me who it's being put on by. I want to say Atlas, and I can't remember what that is an acronym for. But it's a bunch of directors that are getting together to go through training. So I think it's going to be a good networking opportunity, and I think it's going to be a good support system for me to talk about issues that I face as a director with other directors, and to share my expertise, because it seems that a lot of the directors are getting younger and younger. Tom Hall. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll take Trustee Daney on that one.
There's a second.
Thank you, Trustee Barry. Is there any discussion on that?
Sias?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Ricardo absent. Dady, yes. Hopkins?
Yes. We are adjourned at 8:11 p.m.